Today, I'd like you to encourage your pastor. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This is episode number 203, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. I'm so glad you're here today. Our reading is 1 Thessalonians chapters 1 through 3, after which I'll have some comments on our reading and then some other important things I'd like to say after that. So please listen all the way to the end. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us your children. You've said that we can call you Abba, Daddy. What a marvelous privilege that is. Keep us in your care, I pray. As we read your word, help us to understand and apply what we learn to our lives. Help us to please you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the people of the Church of Thessalonica, who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be yours. We always thank God for you all and always mention you in our prayers. For we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work so hard, and how your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ is firm. Our friends, we know that God loves you and has chosen you to be His own. For we brought the good news to you, not with words only, but also with power and the Holy Spirit, and with complete conviction of its truth. You know how we lived when we were with you. It was for your own good. You imitated us and the Lord, and even though you suffered much, you received the message with joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only did the message about the Lord go out from you throughout Macedonia and Achaia, but the news about your faith in God has gone everywhere. There is nothing, then, that we need to say. All those people speak about how you received us when we visited you, and how you turned away from idols to God, to serve the true and living God, and to wait for His Son to come from heaven, His Son Jesus, whom He raised from death and who rescues us from God's anger that is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Our friends, you yourselves know that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how we had already been mistreated and insulted in Philippi before we came to you in Thessalonica. And even though there was much opposition, our God gave us courage to tell you the good news that comes from Him. Our appeal to you is not based on error or impure motives, nor do we try to trick anyone. Instead, we always speak as God wants us to, because He has judged us worthy to be entrusted with the good news. We do not try to please people, but to please God, who tests our motives. You know very well that we did not come to you with flattering talk, nor did we use words to cover up greed. God is our witness. We did not try to get praise from anyone, either from you or from others, even though, as apostles of Christ, we could have made demands on you. But we were gentle when we were with you, like a mother taking care of her children. Because of our love for you, we were ready to share with you not only the good news from God, but even our own lives. You were so dear to us. Surely you remember, our friends, how we worked and toiled. We worked day and night so that we would not be any trouble to you as we preached to you the good news from God. You are our witnesses, and so is God, that our conduct toward you who believe was pure, right, and without fault. You know that we treated each one of you just as parents treat their own children. We encouraged you, we comforted you, and we kept urging you to live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you to share in His own kingdom and glory. And there is another reason why we always give thanks to God. When we brought you God's message, you heard it and accepted it, not as a message from human beings, but as God's message, which indeed it is. For God is at work in you who believe. Our friends, the same things happened to you that happened to the churches of God in Judea, to the people there who belong to Christ Jesus. You suffered the same persecutions from your own people that they suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and persecuted us. How displeasing they are to God! How hostile they are to everyone! They even tried to stop us from preaching to the Gentiles the message that would bring them salvation. In this way, they have brought to completion all the sins they have always committed, and now God's anger has at last come down on them. As for us, friends, when we were separated from you for a little while, not in our thoughts, of course, but only in body, how we missed you and how hard we tried to see you again. We wanted to return to you. I myself tried to go back more than once, but Satan would not let us. After all, it is you no less than others, who are our hope, our joy, and our reason for boasting of our victory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes. Indeed, you are our pride and our joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, we could not bear it any longer, so we decided to stay on alone in Athens while we sent Timothy, our brother who works with us for God, in preaching the good news about Christ. We sent him to strengthen you and to help your faith, so that none of you should turn back because of these persecutions. You yourselves know that such persecutions are part of God's will for us. For while we were still with you, we told you ahead of time that we were going to be persecuted, and as you well know, that is exactly what happened. That is why I had to send Timothy. I could not bear it any longer, so I sent him to find out about your faith. Surely it could not be that the devil had tempted you, and all our hard work had been for nothing. Now Timothy has come back, and he has brought us the welcome news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always think well of us, and that you want to see us just as much as we want to see you. So, in all our trouble and suffering, we have been encouraged about you, friends. It was your faith that encouraged us, because now we really live if you stand firm in your life in union with the Lord. Now we can give thanks to our God for you. We thank Him for the joy we have in His presence because of you. Day and night we ask Him with all our heart to let us see you personally and supply what is needed in your faith. May our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus prepare the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow more and more and become as great as our love for you. In this way He will strengthen you, and you will be perfect and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all who belong to Him. Beloved, just a short background on 1 Thessalonians before I share a few of my thoughts from today's reading. Scholars think that this is probably the oldest of Paul's letters or epistles to the churches. Thessalonica was the major city in Macedonia when Paul wrote to the church there. The church had as its members both Jews who had come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah and Gentiles who had been idol worshippers. Paul planted the church during his first visit there, but was forced to leave for his own safety. From today's reading, I want to focus on two passages. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20 says, "After all, it is you, no less than others, who are our hope, our joy, and our reason for boasting of our victory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes. Indeed, you are our pride and our joy." And then in 1 Thessalonians 3:6 through 8, he says, "Now Timothy has come back, and he has brought with us the welcome news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always think well of us and that you want to see us just as much as we want to see you. So, in all our trouble and suffering, we've been encouraged about you, friends. It was your faith that encouraged us, because now we really live if you stand firm in your life in union with the Lord." Paul had the heart of a pastor. As we've been reading through his letters, it's clear that he dearly loves the people who are part of the church. He prays for them. He worries about them. He looks for ways that he can be a blessing to them. And he admonishes them to live lives that will be pleasing to the Lord. Now, I hope that sounds familiar to you. I hope I could be talking about your pastor. I know most of my pastors have been like this. I've been blessed to have had some great pastors in my life. While each one has been very different in their personalities, each one loved God and the people who God put in their care. And since I've usually been very involved in every church I've attended, and most of the churches have been on the small side, I've had the privilege to get to know most of my pastors on a personal basis. Most of them have been my friend as well as my pastor. The reason I tell you all this about my relationships with my pastor is this. I've learned that the pastor's job is often lonely and difficult and thankless. Most pastors don't have someone they can go to unload their heart. They seldom have a peer to share their difficulties with. Your pastor prays for you and seeks God's will for you. Verse 10 of chapter 3 could probably have been written by your pastor. Paul said in that verse, "Day and night we ask God with all our heart to let us see you personally and supply what is needed in your faith." Today, I'd like you to encourage your pastor. Let him know that you pray for him. You do pray for your pastor, don't you? Let him know how you've been changed by a recent sermon, and be specific. If you're able to physically be at church as opposed to watching streaming services, don't just say, "good sermon," as you leave on Sunday. Let him know what specific words really spoke to you and what you're going to do to put them into practice. And again, don't just tell him in passing on Sunday morning. Write him a note, on paper, with your own hand, and drop it in the mail. Remember snail mail? Use the mail to deliver your note. And in the note, think about including a gift card to a really nice local restaurant, if restaurants are open in your area, or maybe a gift card to one of his favorite stores. Most pastors can't afford to do really nice things for themselves. And this also goes if you're in my situation and your church isn't able to have live services. If you watch the service via some sort of streaming mechanism, you can still write a note and include a gift card. Let your pastor know that the love he puts into your life means something. Let him see the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. This is all so much more important if you can't meet at church on Sundays. I can absolutely guarantee that your pastor greatly misses meeting with the congregation under one roof. Do something so that your pastor can say, "Now we can give thanks to our God for you." What are your thoughts? I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. To find out what Bible translations I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 202, or check your podcast app. Tomorrow, we're going to read Leviticus 19 through 21. And I promised you some other comments. So before I go, I want to say that I'm very much concerned about our freedoms. As you probably know, President Trump's Twitter and Facebook accounts have been deleted by those platforms. Listen, whether you like him or not is not the issue here. The fact that the President of the United States can be booted from these places should send a chill up your spine. If he can be censored, then it will not be long before they come after you and me. It's a short way from censoring him for speech the left doesn't like to censoring us for our message. Yes, I do still believe that God is on the throne, but we are called to be salt and light. If the left decides that our message is hate speech, then they'll come to silence us too. We must be on our knees, beloved, before the throne of God. We must ask his guidance and intervention. We need to pray that he would forgive us as a nation for the evils we have allowed, like abortion and the proliferation of pornography and the removal of God from so many institutions in our nation. We need to, as David did, ask that God remove our enemies in whatever way he deems right. And we need to pray for him to raise up godly leaders. We're moving in the wrong direction, beloved, and we need to ask God to intervene in Jesus' name.
Just be faded memories, like the lines of some old song, from a time when right was right and wrong was wrong. Baby, when you're all grown up and our colors have been blurred, the stars and stripes forgotten and our language is seldom heard.
Scott Wesley Brown with a song you wrote, prophetically, I think, back in 2008. He interviewed Scott here at my home in October 2008 for the LifeSpring podcast, episode 177, which is still available at lifespringmedia.com. I'd have a nice, easy-to-remember link for you to go to, but as I record this, the website is down because my hosting company is having a seemingly gnarly technical issue that's been going on for over 4 hours now. I'm just praying that they get it fixed soon. If you're hearing this podcast right now, it has been resolved, but I have no idea when it'll be at this moment. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for inviting me into your life today. Bye.